Please open your Bibles with me to 1 Peter again. When you read the Bible over and over again, or maybe just for the first time, certain words sometimes will really catch your attention and go straight to the heart. And by God's grace, we're going to look at one of those words this morning. It's the word precious. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, several times in 1 and 2 Peter. It means valuable. It means something that is worth a lot, expensive. Think of it like this: price, pricey, priceless, precious. Not cheap, not worthless. We find many examples of the word in the Bible in that context of something that is very expensive or maybe even beyond price. I'll give you a few examples. Genesis 24:53, Eliezer gave precious things to Rebekah's brother and mother. And then Ezra spoke about gifts given to the temple, including things, quote, precious as gold. Often the Bible speaks of precious stones. We even talk about gems and diamonds as precious stones. Ezekiel 28:13 lists some of the precious stones that were in the Garden of Eden. Sardis, topaz, diamonds, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald, and gold. Did you know that? These precious stones may have been just all around on top of the soil as Adam and Eve communed with God, precious stones. Revelation 21:19 mentions 12 precious stones that are on the wall of the New Jerusalem in heaven. Daniel 11:8 says, their precious articles of silver and gold will be plundered by their enemies. 2 Chronicles 20:25, precious jewelry. Revelation 18 talks about precious stones, pearls, silk, wood, ivory, marble, and gold. Deuteronomy 33:13-16, precious things that God gives to us in creation. Not just those gemstones, but think of other things, minerals like oil, energy, beauty, music, all are precious things from God. And James 5:7 mentions, quote, the precious fruit of the earth given to the farmers for us. Those are just a few of the precious things, but I'm going to concentrate on the spiritual precious things that are in 1 and 2 Peter. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to be praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there's the first precious thing, our faith, more valuable than gold. And then it mentions verses 6 and 7, pure gold that's been tried in the fire and all the impurities taken out of it. Brothers and sisters, your faith is precious. It is valuable, more valuable than even gold. Then in 2 Peter 1:1, it says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. Notice it says, you have obtained it. You did not buy it. You did not earn it. According to the Bible, faith is a gift from God given to those that he chooses. It's not earned. It's not bought. And then 2 Peter 1:4 says this, quote, by which have been given to us, another gift, exceedingly great and precious promises. The Bible contains a catalog of great promises. God says, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Promises to save us, to protect us, to sanctify us, to comfort us. Promises to give us wisdom in time of need. These are precious promises, and maybe you've even seen those little books sold at Christian bookstores or online, since many of them are no longer mortar and brick. Books of God's precious promises in your time of need. In fact, God's word is called precious, more valuable than gold, Psalm 19:10. And as it came through the prophets of old, sometimes it was especially precious because it was rare. 1 Samuel 3:1 says, "The word of the Lord was precious in those days." So when it came through a prophet like Samuel, it was very valuable. The people of God says, "Oh, it's been a long time since we've heard a word from God." The Bible is precious, more precious than gold, diamonds, rubies, or platinum all put together. Is it precious to you? Now, I'm not talking about the dollar value that's placed upon it, because at one time, did you know that back in the days when, before printing press, the Bible had to be copied out by hand by a scribe if he was Jewish, or a monk if he was a Christian, and it would take that person a whole year to copy out a Bible by hand? Do a computation. Would you give a year's salary to hire someone to copy out a Bible for you? Would it be worth that much to you? You couldn't go down to the market and simply buy one. Let me put it like this. If you were stranded on an island or in prison without a Bible, what would you give to have one? Now, it's good that we can memorize Bible verses, but what would you give if there was only one Bible for sale? That will tell you how much it's worth to you. Not only that, the Bible tells us of God's thoughts are precious. Psalm 139, 17, David said, "How precious are your thoughts to me, O God." Also, the Bible gives us true wisdom. That too is valuable. Proverbs 3:15, wisdom is, quote, "more precious than rubies." I don't know what the going price for rubies is this day. I haven't checked the Wall Street Journal on that recently. But whatever it is, wisdom is even more valuable than that. You know that when you have to make a big decision, you go to a counselor, a lawyer, and you'll pay to get that advice. How about spiritual wisdom? It's more valuable than rubies. So this book and all it contains is more valuable than any other book. And it's through this book God gives us these precious things like faith and wisdom, promises, and his word. So our response should be, thank God for precious faith, the precious word of God, and wisdom. But for the rest of this message, I want to concentrate on two things in particular that rise above all these other things that are precious. So look with me, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." When we have communion, we remember the blood of Jesus Christ. It's called precious. It's called valuable. Drop for drop, ounce for ounce, the precious blood of Christ was the most valuable, tangible thing the world has ever known. And it was paid to buy us. That's what the word redemption means. That God demanded payment, and it could only be paid for in blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Infinite in value. Martin Luther said just one drop of that precious blood would be sufficient to purchase the whole world. In fact, others have waxed eloquent. Matthew Henry, the great Puritan commentator, said just one drop would be enough to purchase a world, a universe of sinners. John Calvin said, "Even if all the angels took on human bodies and shed blood, even all that together would not be enough to purchase us for just one sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ paid an infinitely precious price." Now, in what way was Christ's blood precious, as it says here? First, because of whose it was. It was perfect. It was not tainted by sin like ours is, because in his humanity, he had no sin. There was no sin tainting his blood. So just the fact that he was a sinless man made it very valuable. The only one in all human history. But he wasn't just a man. He was the God-man. He didn't cease being God when he became a man. And Acts 20:28 says, God purchased the church of God with his own blood. Now God is spirit, but he became a man so that he could suffer and so he could die. But also as man, he could shed precious blood to redeem lost sinners. That's why it's so precious, because of whose veins it flowed through. Infinitely precious. The only thing that could redeem us and appease the Father, because the Father demanded payment. Excuse me. Payment by infinitely precious blood. We are not infinite, and our blood is tainted by our sins, but Jesus's wasn't, therefore it is precious. We have blood. And in another way, that is valuable. Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's back in the book of Leviticus. Our blood is precious. If we shed too much of it, we're going to die. Or we need a blood transplant. We need a transfusion. Blood is very valuable. And some blood is more valuable than others. Did you know that? I wonder if I ask how many of you would be able to name your blood type. Mine is B negative. I checked it out in case of an emergency. It's on this card I carry with me everywhere I go. It lists my medications and my afflictions and my blood type. Did you know there are some blood types that are exceptionally rare, and blood banks will pay a lot of money for it? And some people have very rare and unique antibodies in such a way that their blood is very valuable. I read about a man never has to go to work. He has very rare blood, and every few months he just simply sells a pint of it and lives off of that. The article that discussed that said he has to report this to the IRA as liquid assets. But he never has to work. It's very valuable, because there might be someone else out there, and maybe five people in the world have that blood type, and they need a transfusion. They'll pay anything for just a pint of that blood. But the Lord Jesus' blood is far more precious than that. You know, in the Catholic Church, they speak about the blood of Christ, and sometimes Protestants don't, especially conservatives do, though. But the Catholic Church has something called the Society of the Precious Blood, where they meditate upon this and study the subject, and I've studied this subject. Brothers and sisters, we are the Society of the Precious Blood. We've been washed clean in the blood of Christ. Christ provided atonement in his life and in his death and his suffering and his blood to redeem us, because we are precious in his sight. Now, the Bible speaks of several people whose lives were spared by someone else, because it says, he was precious to me. David spared Saul in 1 Samuel 26:21 says, because you were precious. Proverbs 6:26 talks about his precious life, somebody who is valuable. Never look down on people. They are precious to God. They're made in the image of God. Our life is precious to ourselves. I heard one person say, I'm valuable to me. I'm the only me I've got. You're right. Last week I mentioned that verse. Jesus said, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is very valuable. You'd give anything. You'd give everything. Let's say you had a very rare disease and there was only one cure. What would you pay for that? You'd pay anything. Doctor, I'll sell my house. I'll empty my bank account. I want to live. Ladies and gentlemen, the blood of Christ is the one and only, always perfect, infallible cure and medicine for the disease of sin. That's another reason why it is so valuable. It is unique. And he paid that redemption price, as it says here, with his own precious blood. So we've looked at it, faith, the Bible, promises, all these things precious. Now we come to the Mount Everest of things that are precious, the Lord Jesus himself. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. He is a living stone, so you could say he's the precious gemstone, the diamond of diamonds. But it says here he's rejected by men, but not rejected by God. He's chosen by God in his precious humanity. But why is he rejected by people? You share the gospel. We got men here that go out on the streets on Saturday night, go up to Chicago. We witness personally. Why is it people do not believe in Jesus? Why do they reject him? Because they don't see his infinite value. Or as Jonathan Edwards said, they're blind to his precious beauty. But when their eyes are and hearts are opened up, they say, "Give me him. He is more valuable than anything and everything." This verse means a lot to me, verse 4. This is the verse I preached on at my mother's funeral. She wanted me to. This was also the text of a young man named Charlie Spurgeon, his very first sermon when he was 16. Did you know that? Charles Spurgeon chose this as his first sermon text. And he said this. He preached on it many other times. He said this: Christ's very self is preciousness itself. He is the essence, the substance, the sum of all preciousness. Many things are more or less precious, but the Lord Jesus is preciousness itself, outsoaring all degrees of comparison. This was heavy on Peter's heart. He says it again, verse 6. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." And he's not finished. Look at verse 7. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are obedient, they just reject him, as it says here. He is precious to us that believe. As I said, his blood is precious because it comes from him who is preciousness. He is all value. He is infinitely worthy. That's why in Revelation 5:12, as we looked at a few months ago, the saints and angels sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." They could be singing, "Precious is the Lamb who was slain. Precious is his blood. Precious is the Lord Jesus." Now, some things in creation are valuable because they are either rare or unique, such as works of art. There's only one Mona Lisa. There's only one statue of David chiseled out by these great chiselers, Michelangelo. Or something is valuable because it once belonged to a famous person. A friend of mine collects various ancient documents and other things, and I was in his office once, and he has all sorts of rare Bibles. I remember once he showed me one. He said, "Oh, that's the first edition King James Version. How much? Oh, it's at least $100,000. And then he showed me, some of you from a Presbyterian background will like this, he showed me one of the few remaining documents of the Scottish National Covenant. That's like the Declaration of Independence with 300 signatures, many of which died as martyrs. That thing is worth a lot. And then he showed me something in his office. I said, "What's this?" "It's in Latin." He says, "Well, that's George Whitefield's ordination papers." Wow, precious document, probably worth at least 50 grand. So some things are rare and unique and therefore very precious. Then there are things that are precious to a person that are not worth anything to anybody else. Something that your mother or father left to you and they're no longer here. And you couldn't get 25 cents for it at a yard sale that said, "What is this?" But you'd pay $1,000 for it, wouldn't you? Because of who it came from. Some things are precious, not just because they're rare, but they are unique. There's a Latin phrase for that, non pareil, which means without parallel, one of a kind. It's like it broke the mold. Jesus is like that. There's only one Jesus. He's the only God-man, the only Savior. He is perfect. He is nonpareil. That's why the Bible says he is, quote, God's only begotten Son. And he is precious to the Father. At his baptism, Jesus looked up and the dove came down and the sky opened and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." As if to say, "You are precious to me, my Son." Has that ever occurred to you? God didn't send an angel. He sent his beloved Son, his precious Son, his darling Son, to suffer for our sins. Matthew Henry said, God's beloved Son should be our beloved Savior. Is he precious to you? That's the true mark of a Christian spirituality. That's in one way the true mark of whether you are Christian or not. Is he precious to you? Jesus told a parable in Matthew 13 illustrating this under the picture of the pearl of great price. And it says that this collector, this dealer, who had been going around the world collecting precious pearls and diamonds and so forth, he finds out one pearl of great price that surpasses all others. And he says, "I'll buy it." And went to the owner and says, "How much will you take for it?" He says, "Well, very easy, just all you've got." And the man willingly sold everything else to get that one thing. What would you give up to get the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the pearl of great price. He was worth that to Peter. Peter learned that after he denied him and said, "I'll never deny him again. I'll die before I sell out Jesus." But there was another man that did not consider Jesus the pearl of great price, Judas. And so he sold out Jesus for only 30 silver coins, the price of a slave, maybe just a couple of months' wages. But unbelievers are like that. They'd sell out Jesus. They grow up in a church learning hymns, maybe even saying, "I got baptized and I was a Christian." And the next thing you know, they don't even claim to believe in God. They're selling out Jesus. Hebrews 10:29 says, it's as if they're trampling underfoot his very blood. This verse here, verse 7 says, "To you that believe he is precious." But to unbelievers, he is not precious. You try witnessing to them and they'll say, "What's so special about him? Why do you get that gleam in your eye and that little smile on your face? What's so special about him?" They don't see anything. As it says in Isaiah 53, "We saw no beauty in him that we would desire him." But to us that believe, he is precious. Notice the irony with Judas. He sold out Jesus for just a low price. And then he went out and killed himself. But before he tried to kill himself, he felt guilty and in despair. He tried to give the blood money back to the Pharisees, and even they wouldn't take it. And so he died lost. Without the money or without Jesus, he had been swindled by the devil. And that's what happens to every other lost sinner. They want to go for the gold and the money and the fun and all the music in this life. It's cheap, it's trinkets, it's trash compared to the pearl of great price, the precious one, Jesus. And so in rejecting him, they end up losing everything else and they go to hell absolutely poor. But us that treasure Jesus will not give him up for anything or for everything. We end up getting everything. And the best of all is Jesus. So the lesson is, those that sell out Jesus lose everything, but those that love Jesus and consider him precious get everything. Last week I put it to you in the picture of an auction. What would you give if your soul was up for sale at an auction? You'd give everything. You'd say, "Without my soul, I'm lost. I've got nothing." Wealthy people will say, "What good is money if you ain't got your health?" What if you don't have your own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now let's use that picture and turn it around. Instead of your soul being on auction, what if it was the Lord Jesus? What would you give for him? A true believer said, "I'll give anything. I will give up sin. I'll give him my body, my mind, my soul, my past, my future, everything." And you would consider that a deal. In fact, it is a deal. Think about, you know, the Bible says this is the new covenant. And there's the exchange. He takes our sins at the cross. We get his righteousness. I put it to you, ladies and gentlemen. Who gets the best part of this bargain? Jesus or us? we do. What does he get from us? What are we worth? Not very much. Oh, we think we're special. All humankind together is not worth Jesus' little finger. We get the best part of the bargain. We get him who is infinitely precious. What would you give if on the auction block, either God or the devil or some auctioneer says, now, what would you give for Jesus? Now, let's change that around. What if God himself made you this offer? And on one side, there's Jesus, alone. And on the other side, God says, I will give you everything. The universe, gold. You want gold, you get gold. You want good music, you want beautiful looks, everything. I'll give you everything, but you can't have both. Kind of like what Satan offered Jesus. Fall down, worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Now, don't jump too quickly at that, because this is a bargain, as it were, an auction that's laid before us every day. Jesus, or anything, or everything. Ponder that. And could you honestly sing that great song by George Beverly Shea, I'd rather have Jesus. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Here's another question. This was the first sermon that I ever preached in this church 20-something years ago on that great story in the Gospel of John where the woman came in and anointed Jesus' feet with the precious oil, and Judas said, why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? Because she poured out the equivalent of a year's wages, and it was literally going down the drain. What gift would you give to Jesus if he came to your house like he came to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus? What would you give? Well, we've got Christmas coming up. You've heard the story, you know, the little saying, what do you give to the man that has everything? Well, Jesus literally has everything. What would you give to him? What she gave was not just that perfume. That was symbolic of what she was really giving to Jesus, her love. That's what we give to Jesus, and it's precious to him, and he gives us his precious love. God has given us many wonderful gifts, but the most precious of all is worth more than all put together, and that's the Lord Jesus. Soon we got Thanksgiving coming, and we thank God for freedom and family and all these other things. Maybe thank God for health. Take time to thank God for Jesus. Most precious thing, most precious of all, and more precious than all put together. That's why Paul said, thank God for his inexpressible gift. Now, there is a proverb you may have heard. One man's treasure is another man's trash. What is the ultimate? I've already told you the ultimate treasure. What's the ultimate trash? Sin. It's trash. It's garbage. But most people prefer the garbage of sin to the pearl of great price, who is Jesus. Jesus said this, Matthew 6, where your treasure is, there is also your heart. Now, when I said precious means valuable, that's not just simply some financial computation like, yes, he's worth so much, you know, click, 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 yep, he's worth that much, and I'll pay that much. Yep, no, it's more than that. It's not a computation in the mind. It's an affection in the heart. We even use the word precious like that in romantic circles. A man to his girlfriend, his fiance, oh, especially to his wife. And he says, you're so precious to me. Oh, that one, men, take heed. They like that sweet talk. And say, you're precious to me. I wouldn't trade you for the 100 most beautiful women in the world, because you are more beautiful than all of them. And I wouldn't trade you for 1,000 pounds of gold at the going price, sprinkled with rubies and diamonds. You are precious to me. Can you speak words like that to Jesus? Can you echo what we find in the Song of Solomon when the man and the woman are saying that spiritual sweet talk to one another? Do you ever get alone with Jesus and say, Jesus, you are so precious to me, better than gold and silver. I just like thinking of your name, Jesus, name above all names. Your word is precious to me. Your memory, your love. Is he precious to you with a deep, heartfelt affection and devotion? We all have things that are valuable to us, maybe to someone else, but maybe to nobody else, but you can't take those precious treasures with you when you die. Sometimes people put some of those things inside of a coffin. By the way, think twice about that, because in some places, somebody at the funeral home will open it and help themselves. And sometimes they say, well, he's not going to need it where he's going. But you can't take precious treasures with you when you die, even if they're buried with you in your coffin. But you can take Jesus with you. John Wesley used to say, the true value of a thing is, what will it bring in eternity? Jesus is the most precious thing in eternity and in heaven. We need to see the preciousness of Jesus as God sees it, in contrast with garbage. Jeremiah 15:19 says, separate the precious from the vile. And that's what we do when we repent. We look at Jesus, and then we look at our sins and say, ugh, throw it in the garbage. Give me Jesus. That's repentance. Throwing out the garbage of sin, and faith is accepting and clinging to the valuable preciousness of Jesus. Let me share another precious thought at this point. Precious thought. If you are a Christian, you are especially precious to God. Of yourself, you're not valuable because we're sinners. And even Adam before he fell was not worth that much because he is so small compared to God. But we are precious to God. That's why Christ paid such a precious price to purchase us. This is what God says, Isaiah 43:4. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you. Think about that as God's heavenly sweet talk. He says, you have been honored and I have loved you. There is more. Psalm 116:15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, that needs to be pondered when you lose a loved one, a child, spouse, parent. You grieve because you love that person. What was it said just a few weeks ago? Prince Charles became King Charles, and he said, grief is the price we pay for love. Very good. We are precious to God, and it's as precious in the sight of the Lord as the death of his saints, because we go to be with him. Now let's turn that verse around. This is preacher's liberty. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the saints is the death of their Lord. Is the death of Christ precious to you? When we come to communion, you meditate on the precious blood of Christ and his body and his death. Now, when is Jesus most precious to a Christian? I'll give you three. Number one, when we're overwhelmed with guilt. When our conscience smites us and we say, we know we've sinned. Maybe some new sin, maybe some horrible sin. Years ago, a man in another city phoned me up in the middle of the night and said, I've just committed a sin I never thought I would commit. I feel so guilty. But he was a Christian. And so I remind him of God's forgiveness. That is when Christ is especially precious to us, when we remember he still loves us. He died for our sins. And his grace is very precious to us. But by that same standard, how does a person that doesn't treasure Christ as precious come to accept him when God opens his eyes, and especially when he is burdened with his sins and knows, I'm lost, I'm going to help. Maybe someone here feels like that. And if you're lost and don't feel like that, may God put that on your heart, a holy fear of death and of hell. But a person that is overwhelmed with this guilt and is afraid to die because he says, I'm guilty, I'm going to hell. And then Christ becomes precious when he realizes that's how I can be saved. Spurgeon used this illustration. A ship at sea, far from land, sunk, either a fire or an explosion, and everybody on board died except one. And one man was out there trying to swim and tread water, and nobody else was out there. They're all drowned, the ship was gone, and he knows he can't last very long. And then a board comes floating by from the ship, and he grabs it because now he says, now I can float and wait, and maybe another ship. That board is the most valuable thing in the world to him at that point. And Spurgeon said, we're like a lost sinner drowning in sin. And then God throws us not a board, but the cross. And it's now the most valuable thing in the world to us because that is the only hope of our salvation. So that is the first time that a person sees the preciousness of Christ and his salvation. Secondly, fellow Christians, he is very precious when we really hurt. When you're sick in the hospital, racked with pain, deep in depression, or some overwhelming problem in your marriage, your job, whatever, and you were broken like a stick, and the tears come and the fears fill your heart, and Jesus shows up. He is especially precious at those times. He won't hurt you. He'll wipe away the tears. He is very gentle when we have a broken heart, and we value that. And then thirdly and lastly, he is very precious to us when we know we're approaching our death. We're at our very weakest, and when our time comes to die, we will feel as weak as a little baby because we have that instinct to hold on, to hold on to life. But then we say, I can't hold on much longer. And that's when Jesus comes and takes us over the other side to heaven. And we say, thank you, Jesus. You were strong and you were loving. About 100 years ago, someone wrote a very wonderful gospel song. You don't hear it too much more, but it was one of the first ones I ever learned as a teenager. Here are the words. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Help me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near, and the darkness is past and gone, at the river I stand. Guide my feet, hold my hand. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. You will, because he is precious to those that believe. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are precious to us. You have given us faith, your word, your promises, your spirit. You have given us yourself. You are preciousness itself. Sweeter than honey, more valuable than gold. More valuable than the whole universe, you are our Jesus. And we just want to say, Lord, thank you for dying for us and shedding your precious blood to redeem us. Because you love us and we are precious to you. Lord Jesus, you are so precious to us. Take our hand, precious Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen.